The book of Luke, and I'm just going to read a part of what we're going to talk about today. In Luke 24, 31 and 32, it says, "And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said to one another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" Father, we pray, God, that you would be glorified today, that your word would be proclaimed as it ought, and that Christ would be magnified, and it would be for our good. Your will be done, nothing more, nothing less. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, I got my laptop here again. This is what usually it looks like for me. So, Brother Tom this morning talking about in his marriage, a time that he thought that, man, we're going to start talking about ending this thing. I want you to understand something, that in this portion we're going to be looking at, we're going to begin in verse 13. We're going to go down to where I just read. But I want you to understand something. This is a time that everything had gone wrong. Just a week earlier, everybody thought, Here he comes. I mean, they got the palm branches. They got their Hosanna. I mean, the Savior has come. We believe this is the one, and he's going to redeem us from all our enemies. He's going to establish us. We're going to conquer. And just a few days later, everything went wrong the way they saw it. I want you to listen to this. The first time I ever preached this, this is what came to my mind. When we have a wrong understanding, it will lead to a wrong expectation. And a wrong expectation will lead to confusion. Confusion will lead to doubt, doubt to discouragement, and discouragement will lead to a loss of hope, and a loss of hope will lead to a departure from Christ. Now, not finally. And if you think, well, that's pretty wordy, and for someone as simple as me, yes it is, but I know it from experience. And I want you to know something, everybody in here that's married knows it from experience.
Yeah.
We all came with an understanding, didn't we? We know how this is going to go, right? We had an expectation. I won't go into all those expectations from a man's point of view to a woman's point of view. But let's just say there was quite a misunderstanding, right?
Yeah.
And what did it lead to? It led to some confusion. Like, this ain't what I thought.
Right.
And that confusion led to doubt. Like, I'm not so sure I should have married this girl or this guy. And it led to discouragement, and all of a sudden, sometimes you're at a loss of hope, and there's a departure that happens, right?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, preachers, has it ever happened to you? Man, God has called you to the ministry, Jared, wherever you're hanging out back there. And we got this idea that, man, everybody is looking for us to come, and we're going to go pastor a church. And they've been praying for me, right? But all of a sudden, I had an expectation, and it didn't work out right because my understanding was wrong on what I was doing, and well, let me go through it again. It led to some confusion. That confusion led to doubt. That doubt led to discouragement. And that discouragement led me to a loss of hope. And that hope, I'm like, I'm out of here. Well, let me tell you something. There's not one marriage and not one pastor that experienced what these men were experiencing here. Listen to what it says. We start off, and if you're a point guy, I'll just make these points up along the way. I didn't really learn to preach like this. And when Harold Smith's sitting here, there's a lot of pressure on you, right? What did he preach last year? A 60-point sermon with triple alliteration? I didn't even know how to spell alliteration. It starts with an A, in case y'all don't know. Took a while to find that word. Now listen to this. It's not good to start a sermon with alliteration with an I, right? But that didn't work. Listen to this. We start off with a confused communication of two companions. Listen to this. Behold, two of them, they went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and they reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now we're going to be looking at some things in this. We're going to be looking at a couple of questions, a couple of problems that they have. We're going to be looking at things. And if you want a sermon title, it's called Eyes Opened and Hearts Burning. If you're one of them people that do that.
Yeah.
And so listen to this. They were talking together, and it says it came to pass while they communed together and they reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. Now you've got to understand something. As they're walking and they're just going about, they're going to go on a little bit over 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and they're talking about everything that's taking place. To put it in perspective, there was several years ago in Oklahoma City, they had the Murrah bombing, right? It was big. It was catastrophic. It made headlines all over the world, this bombing. It would be like a situation like that, and everybody's talking about what just happened. Well, these two men, no doubt, all hope is lost. Everything that they threw all their eggs in that one basket, it looks like it's been defeated. And there's all manner of confusion and anguish, and they're going away from Jerusalem. And they're talking with one another, and all of a sudden, this other guy comes along and he just starts walking along with them. He's listening to them.
Yeah.
Now listen to this. Their eyes were holding that they should not know him. So Jesus comes along and this is really important to get, okay? He come alongside of them and he hides himself from them.
Yeah.
And he looks at him and he says, what manner of communication are these things that you have one to another as you walk and you're sad? I mean, can you imagine this? I mean, out of what just happened in Jerusalem, this stranger comes along and says, what in the world are you guys talking about? Why are you all so sad? And they just stop me. Look what he says. He says, one of them, his name was Cleopas. He said, he answered and him and he says, are you only a stranger in Jerusalem and has not known the things which are have come to pass in these days? He's like, where are you from? I mean, listen, those crucifixions were done on the busiest places. They wanted everybody to know, you better not make this mistake. This is what's going to happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, where had you been? How do you not know what is going on?
Right.
What does Jesus do? He said, what things? I mean, you talk about a clueless companion.
Yeah.
What things? Now I want you to know something. There's times in your life you're going to be going along and you're going to be saying, I do not understand what is happening in my life. I don't understand what's happening in my marriage, in my ministry. I don't know what's going on. I thought this was going to take place.
Yes, sir.
And a hidden Jesus is going to come along. He's going to say, what are you talking about? What are you so worried about? What things are you talking about? And it's like, Lord, don't you know?
Yeah.
And listen to this. They said, concerning Jesus of Nazareth. I mean, we want to get the right one. The one from Nazareth. The one that nothing good could come out of Nazareth, right?
Right.
Which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And the chief rulers and the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Now I want you to understand something. If you want to know why it really was really bad for these two men and all the other disciples, this isn't just something that they said and they crucified him. You see, they thought this was the Messiah. They thought this was the Christ.
Right.
This is the one, but there's a real big problem when they said, but he's been crucified. Why? Because Moses told us in Deuteronomy 21, he says, anybody that's committed a sin worthy of death, he's going to hang him on a tree. And everyone that hangs on a tree is accursed by God.
Yes.
I mean, there's no way this can be the one that we thought, even though he was mighty in words, he was mighty in deeds. We saw the miracles. We heard the words. I mean, even the Roman soldier says, ain't nobody ever talks like this man. And then all of a sudden, everything goes wrong. Well, that's one problem. We don't understand what's going on. They crucified him. But he says, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. And if you want a second point, this is called certain crazy women.
Yeah.
And he says, yay, and that ain't no dog on the women, okay? But let me explain here in a minute. He says, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher, when they found not his body, and they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and they found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Now the scripture says they didn't believe the women, right? You know, and the reason that's I titled that point that way is because a woman's testimony couldn't even be held up in court back in them days.
Right.
So they got women going down to the sepulchre, coming back, saying, hey, he's not there, he's alive. So they started off with the problem, we don't know what's going on, we don't know what's happened. And another problem is, we don't even know where Jesus is. Now I want you to understand something. In your life, many times when you're going through these things, you may not say it like this, but you don't know what's going on. But you say things like this, I don't even know where the Lord is in my life right now.
Right.
And it feels like He's a long ways away.
Right.
So they got two problems. We don't understand what's happened, and we don't even know where He's at now. And then he said to them, and I've always thought, how did he say this? Oh, fools. I mean, here's the clueless stranger. Doesn't even know what's taking place. Oh, fools. I just don't know how you can soften that down. And then he adds to it, he says, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Now I want you to think about something for a moment. You see, we're fools when we develop an understanding that is not based on Scripture. Now listen, just hang on a second. Sometimes in our circles, sometimes in our denominations, somehow we think we've arrived at the pinnacle of all understanding. And listen, I'm going to tell you something. I mean, sometimes I tease my Presbyterian brothers. They say, examine all the Scriptures. I said, he didn't say examine it by the Westminster Confession. I mean, if you want to examine truth, you do it by the Word of God. And I know it's recorded, so I apologize to all them fellas. Get a grip though, right? So listen to this. Listen, he says, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And he says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Now I want you to think about something. Now you got to keep in mind, they don't know who they're talking to.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the clueless stranger that all of a sudden he's the biblical expert. He's like, he don't even know what's happened, but he's like, oh, you fools. You believe you're deceived by believing stuff that ain't true. I don't know who told you what you're believing, but you got it wrong. Oh, you slow of heart. He's like, you simpletons. I mean, you ever had that happen? One time, me and a buddy, we was in kind of a church. It might have been a cult. I don't know, but we picked up a hitchhiker, and we loved to pick him up because we was the only church going to heaven, right? We had the truth. This guy gets in the back seat, and we're just thinking, how are we going to start talking to this guy? He grabs my Bible. He starts whooping out Scripture faster than anybody ever heard. We were just sitting there going, he's going, amen, amen. I'm like, yeah. We were so beat down and intimidated. When we got rid of him, we go, boy, that was a humbling experience. I don't know if he was right, wrong, or indifferent, but he knew more than I did. Now listen, folks. When he says, oh, soul of heart, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to have entered into his glory? And listen to this. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, he's not saying it in the eye. He's not saying, I should have done this. He's saying, well, you know, if you remember when you read over there, you know, that you talked about that curse thing. Well, you know, yes, Moses did say anyone that hung on a curse, I mean, on a tree would be cursed by God. That's true, but But did you not read? Did you not also read things like this? That and we heard one brother talk about Genesis 22 when Abraham went to offer up Isaac. Oh, he said his only son. He wasn't his only son, was he? But he was the unique one. He was the special one. He was the prophesied one. And I love it because in one place, here's Isaac and he says, Father, here's the wood and here's the fire, but where's the lamb for the offering? And he says, God will offer. He says, God will provide himself a lamb for the offering. He said, did you not understand what was going on? And then to show Abraham, you remember that part where he says, you're not even 50 and you say you know Abraham? He says, hey, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced in it. On that day when God said, don't take his life. And they see a lamb, a ram, caught in a thicket by his horns. There's a picture of Christ, the God, the Son of God, becoming the Son of God. I mean, the God in deity coming down to man, bringing his authority under the curse and dying for all of us. He was supposed to redeem us. What did he say in in Galatians 3:23 over here, I think that's where it is, where he says that he became a curse for us that he might redeem us, redeem his people. You see, he starts expounding these things. You remember in Psalm 22 when he says, I am a worm. Now, I don't know if he covered everything in the Old Testament, but that had to be quite a Bible study for a little over 7 miles, right? I mean, you're getting the teacher of all teachers. Do you remember that part where he says, I'm a worm? Well, I was reading in a commentary by John Gill a while back, a couple years ago, and there was a little note there that said this worm was the scarlet worm. And you know what the scarlet worm would do when it would die? That scarlet worm would attach itself to a tree.
Wow.
And you know what? Do you know what they used the scarlet worm for? They would mash that thing, and that's how they made king's robes. That's where they got the color for it. Oh, but do you know there's something else? When that scarlet worm attached itself to the tree, do you know what it had underneath it? All of its offspring. And do you know how its offspring came to life? Because they feasted on his blood. He says, I am a worm. And listen, what it doesn't tell us, it doesn't tell us what he told them. But all of a sudden, all those old scriptures that they had wrong, that their understanding was wrong, they read to a wrong expectation, all of a sudden, it's coming into view. It's coming clear. Isn't that an amazing thing? Now listen, as it goes on, it says, and they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. Now you don't want to miss this. You got to understand something. You need to have discernment when Jesus is coming alongside and you don't know who it is.
Yes. Yes, brother.
You see, because the truth is this. It could be an Armenian preacher. Living like Amish, but they ain't Amish. Preaching a sermon on justification by faith. Well, how in the world can an Armenian get that right as us, huh? And I play that in our kitchen for my wife.
Yeah. Come on, brother.
And tears coming down.
Yes, sir.
And she says, we missed it.
I'm glad you're
out, preacher.
Yeah. That's the night that God saved my wife. Yeah. Homemade clothes, beard, you look like the Amish. It wasn't Amish. Preaching a sermon on justification by faith. I went to a Promise Keeper. You know that group, right? They don't exist no more. It was on the downhill slide. It wasn't a big deal. But I didn't know nothing about it. But God was, all of a sudden I was just coming to his mind that something wasn't right in my life. And I went to this thing and I heard this man preach about Jesus. And he started describing who Jesus was to him, and he was my strong tower, my refuge, my strength, my rock, and all of a sudden, my heart is just doing this number, and you gotta remember, I'm sitting there thinking, I'm in the true church, we have the right way, all of these guys are wrong. I mean, they did that deal like, hold your neighbor's hand, I'm like, what in the world? I ain't into this kind of stuff,
Yeah.
And all of a sudden that guy was preaching and he just kind of just dropped his hands and he says, "Men, I don't have words good enough to describe my Savior." They shouted and my heart erupted and I remember thinking I'm wrong. The reason you need to understand is because we get in our little circles and we get so tight and we rule everybody else out. And Jesus has come along. It might be a Pentecostal brother. That guy's plumb crazy most of the time. Do you remember when John, Jesus had just told them when they was arguing about who would be the greatest? Them guys had arguments all the time who's going to be the greatest. I mean several times in the scripture. Jesus said, "What was you guys talking about on the road?" They're like, "Got caught again, didn't you?" And he began to tell them how you're gonna have to receive, just like you'd receive these children. But he told them in one place, you're gonna have to receive the kingdom like a little child, and you're gonna have to receive one another like little children. And then the very next thing, John goes, "Master, we saw a dude over there. He's casting out demons in your name, but we forbade him. I don't know, what was he thinking? Gonna get a star?" I mean, think about what he just said. He was casting out demons in your name. You remember when the Asbury thing happened this last year? Was it a revival? Was it not a revival? Some people went, they wanted revival so bad they came back, "It's a revival!" Others went, they didn't want to be a revival. I mean, my goodness, it was with the Methodists, right? Can I ask you a question? Would you not want it to be a revival?
Amen.
This is why you can't miss this point. They didn't know who they were dealing with. They all of a sudden understood what had happened, but they still don't know who this is. And so when they pulled into their little bed and breakfast, their Airbnb, Jesus just kept walking. And this is the important part. They constrained him, saying, "Abide with us. Don't let him just keep going.
Amen, brother. Yeah.
Don't be ashamed of how he shows up."
Yeah. Right. Amen.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Hey, listen. Some people go, "What is promise keepers? What's this guy talking about? Hey man, I guess you wasn't praying enough to come, you know, God didn't use you to come, okay?" I mean, you see what I'm saying? I mean, we want all the credit, we want all the glory for everything, but God is God and He will use who He wants to use. And I ain't got no control over that. And here's the thing. They said, "Abide with us." It's toward evening and the day is far spent and he went in to tarry with them. Oh, it's getting good. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them that he took bread and he blessed it and he brake and he gave it to them. So here's the once clueless stranger. Now he's the Bible scholar stranger. Man, he's made so much things. We're still a little unsure. But we still have one problem. We still don't know where Jesus is. And he gave him this bread. And all of a sudden it says, and their eyes were opened. And they knew him.
Praise God.
And he vanished out of their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures?" Can I ask you a question? How long has it been since your heart has burned within you? I got a question for you. Why didn't Jesus, when he showed up on the scene, he come up and said, "Hey, Cleophas, it's me, Jesus. Let's take a walk. Man, that'd have been great, wouldn't it? He wants you to know Him in His Word. He wants you to know Him in His Scriptures. See, because when you know Jesus in His Scriptures, when you know Him in the Word, there's going to be less confusion that happens to you. Your understanding is going to be more clear. You see what I'm saying? He wants you to first. I remember talking to a guy one time, and he says, "Man, I've been praying about taking this job, and I just don't know, you know, what it is." And that day we began to talk, and him and his wife and another couple, his old friends of mine, they would attend the Beth Moore conferences. Okay? And he tells me, "You ought to go." And I said, "I ain't going." And he said, "Why won't you go?" And I said, "Well, first of all, when she says, 'Hello, sisters,' I'm pretty sure you should have known right then. You definitely shouldn't have been there, at least for that reason."
Yeah.
Well, now this is a big man. He's about 6'4". He's about like Michael Sanchez. He could crush an apple, you know, with his hand. And he got ticked off at me when I said she shouldn't be teaching and preaching like that anyway. And I thought, this is fixing to go bad for me. So I said, "Hold on a second. Here's what the Bible says." And he goes, "Well, looky there. I didn't even know that." And I thought, here's a man that wants to know what God's will is for his life on the job, but he don't even know Jesus in His Word.
Amen.
You want to come to a wrong understanding? Tell me what Jesus you're following. Because if you don't know Him in His Word, you're not going to know Him experientially. And yes, I do believe in experientially.
Absolutely.
I do believe in the leading of the Spirit. I believe in being filled with the Spirit.
Yeah.
According to the Scriptures.
Amen.
So here's what I want you to understand in all this. At one time in my life, I was in a church that I thought we were the only ones going to heaven. And I finally came to that place where I could tell everything that my understanding was. All of a sudden it was like, one day, this isn't making any sense. I was living in Montana, and the way we viewed church was all the labor happened inside the meeting. We had kind of what you call an open meeting. You could pray, testify, prophesy, preach, you know, sing, whatever. And that's what your labor was. So it was important, and it's always important that everybody's there. And I was praying one morning. I'd go down to the church. I'd open it up. I'd turn the fires on. I don't care what month it is. You're turning the fires on early in the morning in Montana. And I would always begin to pray. And then in the middle of my prayer, I would just get up and I'd begin to walk home and I would continue to pray. But I remember praying that all the brethren would be there today and that everybody would have a labor to do. And I remember thinking, well, what if all of them did show up? What if that happened? I mean, what then? We just go to heaven? Is it over? Did we hit the mountaintop? I thought, this ain't making much sense. Now, I will admit, I'm a pretty simple guy. I'm not the brightest guy, okay? It took me a long time to figure out I'm in a crazy thing. But on the way home, had this little street I walked down, there's a little jog. And I remember going through that jog, and I said this. I said, "Lord, I feel like I'm missing something really big. I mean, really, really big. And I just can't put my finger on it. I just can't see it." Things were starting to not make sense to me. And then about a year later, we moved to Oklahoma. And everything I expected was coming to pass. I'd been ordained an elder in the church. We'd built a house. We were doing that. And all of a sudden, everything come unraveled. And one morning I was driving to work. Just about a 4-minute drive, I'd meet these guys and we'd all carpool. And in the middle of my prayer, I said, "Lord, I hate praying. I was so miserable, brother. I said, I hate praying. I hate going to church. I hate being in Oklahoma. I just hate it all." Now that's an odd prayer, right? I drove for about 30 seconds. Felt like an eternity, and I said, "Lord, I want Jesus to be alive in me, and I don't feel like He is." And a few days after that, God revealed to me that big thing that I just couldn't see. He has a name, and His name is Jesus. And the different things that God used in my life to come alongside when I was confused, when I was discouraged, when I was departing, even though I was sitting in a church, I was departing. Me and my wife for 2 years, I had what we called intense fellowship. She was scared her husband was losing his mind, and probably so. And yet Jesus showed up.
Amen.
And I could testify that my eyes were open and my heart was burning.
Yes.
I can remember the first time that I realized that I can preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I felt like my heart was about to explode and I was about to jump out of the truck.
Yeah.
Driving down the road. Now here's what I want you to know. I don't believe that everybody that has come here is on this level. There's people that come to conferences because you're right here. And you're looking back in the past and you're trying to do the same things you did the first time around and recreate the same feeling that you had, and it's, for some reason it's gone. And that may be you today that has come here just like that. How do I know that? Been there. Go to conference trying to recreate something. You're never going to take shortcuts. You're not going to, you know, Jesus did not expound on how great Jubilee Conference was. He didn't expound on how great whatever Baptist flavor you're of. No, He expounded in all the Scriptures Himself.
Amen.
He began to show Himself.
Amen.
I'll leave you with this. I think I've made it in my 30 minutes. Sermon I heard several years ago by Vance Havner caught my attention. It says, "Have you lost the wonder?" Tells a story about an old evangelist named Gypsy Smith. And when Gypsy Smith was in his late 80s, somebody asked him, they had an interview with him or something. They said, "Gypsy, how is it after all of these years, after all your travels, all the places you've gone, how is it that your ministry is still so fresh and vibrant?" He said, "Oh, I've never lost the wonder." Maybe you've lost the wonder of Jesus today. And maybe God has used some former cultish cop guy that ain't really that sharp, never been to seminary. When I wear a tie, it stands out and everybody's like, "He's a little strange looking." Maybe God's using somebody like that today. You got to realize something. God may be using you to come alongside, but you need to know something. It ain't you. It's Jesus. Don't let Him walk on by. Say, "Come and abide with me." Pray God to bless each one of you.
Amen. Don't let Him walk on by. What a good reminder. You know, you can get in a meeting like this, and even our folk